has written a book of her childhood recollections called Coming West from South Dakota, and is working on a companion volume that will go from the 8th grade to her marriage. Her writing is rich in personal and family anecdotes that show what pioneer life was like. So is this conversation, which looks further at some of the whys and wherefores in coming west from South Dakota. At the end, Mrs. Fleener recalls some of what her father-in-law, Dave Fleener, told her about his crossing the plains at the age of 4 in 1852. What came to me when I was reading the book was, how could you remember so much detail from your childhood so well?
Well, it seems to come to me, you know. I didn't put in all of it in there. It keeps coming to me even now. More of it should have been in there. But I can't just remember any instances right now about what I should have put in. But, well, I remember the time we had head lice. We had a teacher, I know it was a teacher of some of the school kids that had the head lice. See, and we got it too. You know what head lice is, don't you?
Well, it's lice in your hair,
yeah.
Huh?
Awful hard to get them out, you know. My mother, she combed and combed with a fine-tooth comb and muttered all the time about it. I never got to get rid of it. Of course, we had quite long hair then, and it was quite an ordeal to get it out. And of course, they had nits, eggs, you know, that hatch out too. I know we had turpentine in our head or kerosene or something. I know it was terrible.
Do you feel that the details, they just keep coming to you? And
oh, yes. Especially at night or in the evening or morning early. I don't know why. I think everybody should have the same opportunity to remember it, but they don't seem to. They don't think they do anyway, but I think if they didn't have anything else on their mind, they probably could. I tell them because I don't think about it. I don't have anything particular to worry about, you know. I can think of these things that I wouldn't ordinarily probably, but then I don't know.
If I tried to write about my childhood even now, I think I couldn't come up with the kind of richness of detail that you have.
I'm surprised.
I wondered if it had something to do with the times.
It might have been too, you know. I think I have remembered more about my early childhood than I have later on, when my, details during my college time and things like that. Of course, I remember a lot of things that happened then, but then probably not the many details.
What is it that made you feel that it was important to put your past, your recollections down in writing?
I want my grandchildren to know how it was when I was their age, you know, or I was in the old days. That's my principal reason for doing it, you know. We didn't have telephones, electricity, or refrigeration, or anything like that, you know. It's hard for me to believe that now myself, and I know that youngsters that never experienced it would not know, you know. We had the kerosene lamps we had to carry around with us, you know, upstairs to bed. It's a wonder we didn't burn the house down or fall down with them sometimes. Terrible if we broke a lamp chimney too and didn't have another one, we didn't have a light, you see. And so much hard work about cleaning lamps too, you know, trimming them had to be just right. And chimneys had to be washed and lamps had to be filled with kerosene. We would think that'd be an awful drudge nowadays. Just that little bit, you know.
I think that it is hard. It's hard. If you haven't lived through it.
Even if you have lived through it, looking back, well, I don't know how we ever got along, but then we didn't know anything different, you know. That's the reason we got along so well. The farmers' way of living was terrible too, you know, the hard work they did. About that in the next book. out there, how the farmers did, you know, to till their land and break their horses and get out and milk the cows in the winter time and go to town in the winter in the sled, or any way of getting there in the car, you know, for years and years. Come in. Your next question.
Oh, I don't really have questions so much, but do you think the children grew up more quickly in those days?
I don't believe they did. Well, I don't think they knew as much. I know I didn't know as much when I was 20 as they do now when they're 10 or 12, I don't believe. That general thing, of course, they knew a lot about lots of things, because we grew up in the country, you know, and there's lots of things know about the outdoors that people and children don't know now. I think it's a shame, really, that they quit the country schools myself, because I enjoyed myself so much during those years, even though we walked a mile or so to school. Always something interesting. Of course, we didn't know anything about anything different. Took our lunch, and we always had fun at school, you know, and it was really enjoyable. No drudgery in going to school at all.
That's funny, because you get the impression that nowadays schools are a lot more progressive. There's a lot more that kids can do than they used to be able to, and it used to be more strict, but maybe that's not quite the way.
Well, there's two sides to it, of course. Of course, you couldn't take band and a lot of things they take now in school. But I think that the general outlook on life was better then than it is now. I think children grew up with a greater understanding of what the principal things are in life that's worthwhile. I mean, worthwhile things. Seems to me like they do. You see lots of country boys and girls that have made themselves names, you know, just from being a country kids, you might say. A lot of the big inventors and all were country boys and girls. So I've read. I'm not really much for education myself. A college education, I think it frustrates people. You know, they don't know which way to go after they take it. Mix them up.
When you say principles, the basic principles, what do you have in mind?
Well, the nature is one thing. And I don't know, I just can't hardly explain it. There's just so much you get out of going back and forth through the open air that you don't get when you rush in on a bus or something. I don't know why it is, but it seems like that we do get a lot more from that. From something, I can't say what it is, but something really enjoyable anyway. Birds and everything that you see, you know, along the way is really interesting.
Maybe it has something to do with taking things for granted. I don't know.
Well, probably. Of course, I was brought up real strict, but I think that most people were in that age, you know, they were more, well, I wouldn't say religious exactly, but more devoted to their parents and more honest and trustworthy and all that, I think, the general rule, you know.
I get the impression that at the same time that you were more sheltered, perhaps, than people are now.
I think so too. I know we were. We didn't get to know a lot of things we should have known by reading and getting out. We had a very limited amount of reading, and we didn't get out and mix with people very much, and my folks didn't say so-and-so was bad because he does so-and-so and things like that. You know, they never brought to mind that why and wherefore of things.
Do you think that that most people were like your parents?
Well, to some extent, I think so. All the school kids that we went to school with, I know they were, honesty was one of the main things. Well, they wouldn't hire a teacher that wasn't perfectly a good model anyway, you know. They couldn't smoke or drink or anything like that, do anything that was out of the way. And of course, the kids all used the teachers as the models to go by. I think that's one thing that's kind of corrupted the country now, too. The kids can't have respect for the teachers they have like we used to. I think we had more respect for our parents, all of us did, than they do now, too. Can't think of anybody in the neighborhood that didn't, anyway.
Were there rules that you were supposed to keep that you were really tempted to break?
Oh, yes. I wanted to dance awful bad, and the folks wouldn't let me. And they did have dances around the neighborhood some. But they wouldn't allow it. They were Methodists, you know, and they didn't card playing or dancing or anything like that. Well, I vowed when I was 18 I would dance anyway, but I was too old to... I didn't have much of a chance for one thing, and then I felt as though I was too old to learn at that time. I didn't want to make a spectacle of myself. Because we didn't have cars in those days, it wasn't hard to get out and mix with people anyway after I moved over in Whitman County. We were kind of off from any of the young people at that time, so.
It does seem, though, that you got more experience with work. And
Yes, I started working out when I was quite young and worked around the neighborhood all over, a week or two at a time, you know, here and there. That was after that book, that'll be this next book here. And of course, I suppose I learned, got a lot of experience that way along with the work line. I was an outdoor person. I helped my dad and I helped neighbors. I was a big person to sew. I liked to sew, and so I come in handy that way. Didn't pay very much, and I couldn't get ahead very much, you know, that way. It's about enough to buy me clothes, and that's all. About $5 a week for 7 days sometimes, so didn't add up very much, you know. Of course, what you bought didn't cost very much either, but then. I bought the piano and hoped to pay for it that way. I never got quite paid for it then. Only $100, but I thought I'd go to college and learn to teach, but I didn't want to teach. I didn't want to teach at any time. I wasn't meant to be a teacher, I don't think at all. But I thought that I would teach to get some money so that I could take musical education. I knew good and well I couldn't be an expert music anyway. I'd just be amusing myself, so what was the use of doing that? See, I was kind of up a creek whichever way I turned, so I got married instead. I thought maybe my college days would be quite an uplift, you know. I thought I knew pretty well because I was good in languages in high school, but it wasn't the same in college. They went to German and he never could please the teacher. But I decided I wouldn't go in for languages. There wasn't anything else in the college that I cared for. Only music, I couldn't take it, of course, didn't have any money to pay for it, so. I had to work for my board, too, was another thing. I couldn't enjoy myself very much. It just kept me tied down, you know. Couldn't go out very much in the evenings or anything. I'd go roller skating a time or two, but I never learned entirely to not roller skate either. So,
Do they have agriculture at the college then?
No, girls couldn't. I wanted to take animal husbandry more than anything, but they wouldn't allow girls to take that at all. I don't think they had agriculture. They called it that anyway. But
was the first time that you worked out when you worked for Aunt Hattie?
Well, I worked out for when I was about 10 years old for a week, I think, and I was so homesick I couldn't stand it hard. I guess I bawled about all the time. Didn't I say something about that?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I read that earlier, yeah. And then I read the last part just recently, and I've forgotten.
Well, I did most of my working out after I was 15 or so. The neighbors here and there.
Well, is that true of most families? Did the girls in most families work out?
No, I don't think they did. But my sisters could stay at home, you know, and when I used to both of us being home, and so I was ambitious to earn some money, I guess. People seemed to want me to sew, and I liked to sew, so there we went. Always have been kind of a fiend to earn money. Always got myself in a jackpot, though. Usually after I was married, I used to raise sheep and chickens and pigs and everything like that, you know, thinking I'd get a little bit for myself, you know. When I got ready to sell, it was something else in the house around that needed worse, so I never got my druthers. I was all the time doing those things, letting the house neglect the house, you know, and I'd be back, get back in the house, I'd be too tired to keep the house up, and so that way too. Couldn't win. But then after all, it was a good life. I have no regrets about it at all now. So.
Sounds like you just were really good and liked animals.
Well, I did. I loved animals more than anything else. I'd sneak out and milk the cows. I told the kids that's the only time I had vacation was when I got out and milked the cows. I didn't have time to think then, you know. I'll milk and think. Other times the kids are milling around, you know, and things to do and think about. So, my husband didn't like to milk cows, so we got along pretty well that way.
Do you think boys were allowed to do a lot more than girls were?
Oh, I don't know. I can't say. They were pretty well. They behaved themselves pretty well, I think. I don't know if they. Of course, they got out and skated more than the girls did, and got out and played in the snow more than we did, I think. And like that, but I don't think they. There was no place to go, you know, hardly. You had to go foot or horseback or something like that, and that's too much trouble in the wintertime. Summertime, they were working during the day, and big boys that was, I say. And so they were too tired, I guess, to go then. I don't know about the kids in town, you know, we didn't see much of those.
Were they given more responsibilities?
The boys? I don't think so. As a girl, they had their responsibilities in the house, you know. The way we had to wash and iron and everything like that took a lot of time. All our clothes and all of our starch, you know, and ruffles and all that took a lot of time. Ruffles and pleats and iron with irons on the stove, you know, heat them on the hot stove. Summertime is really a bad thing to have to do with iron in the summertime with the hot stove to heat the irons on.
Do you think that the boys liked school as well as the girls did?
Well, they seemed to. I don't know nobody you seem to dislike school anyway. In the country school, they all seem to take it that come. We had our spelling matches after school and our ciphering matches, and everybody just thought that was great, you know. It's on Friday afternoon, rather. So. It got ornery while the teacher in school, while the teacher would put, if the boy got ornery, he'd put him in a double seat, you see. The way to punish him, he'd put him with a girl. I should have put that in the first book, too. Now it wouldn't care, would they? Now they'd just soon it'd be mean on purpose.
Yeah, it wouldn't work anymore.
But we would.
But you do say something like that in the book when you talk about the game, that the breaking out of jail or whatever,
yeah,
that the girls liked better than the boys did.
My mother used to have three long-haired girls to comb their hair from on, or braid their hair, you know, and comb it. I don't know whether I mentioned that in the book or not, but two of my sisters had real long hair, especially the younger sister, Viola. She had hair that grew clear down to her knees, finally. Maybe by that time she could have combed her own hair, but then she had thick and heavy hair. Older sister didn't take my hair, never grew very long, but at least they had to be all combed before school, you know, before we went to school. And we had our work to do before school, of course. And the boys, I don't think they went out and helped milk like some boys did, because my dad always thought that he could do that by himself. He was very particular. But then there was wood to carry in and water to get, water to pump maybe for the stalk and things like that. I only had one brother that was of any size anyway when I was growing up. He was younger than me. By the way, his birthday was Sunday, or Monday. And the other two brothers were the youngest in the family, so they were just little babies, you might say, at the time. We lived over there.
So about how long did it take after you got up in the morning before you could go to school?
I don't know how long it took. I have no idea. If we didn't get through, we were late for school, I know. If the folks wanted us to help them wash or anything like that, it's necessary. Why? We'd stay out of school. Nobody cared if we stayed out of school. Authorities didn't care, you know. Teachers didn't care anything. Didn't like now, they raise the dickens, you know, if you're out of school for any. To help anybody, help you, help at home anyway.
How many months of the year did you go to school?
I don't think it was 9 months. I think it was 8, some of them, and some were less than that.
When you got done with the school day and you got home, did you have mostly just free time?
I don't remember about that. It seemed like it was late by the time we got home, and about supper time anyway, you see. We didn't get out until 4 o'clock, and then we had to walk home. So it was pretty near dark in the winter time. I suppose the boys had to, brother had to get in wood, and girls helped get supper, and wash the dishes afterwards, and like that. But after supper, I guess all free time. I know we used to sit around and play dominoes or popcorn or something like that, you know. Then went to bed quite early too, because we had to get up quite early in the morning. I don't have any idea how early it was though, but I think my dad got up before light in the winter time and went out and did the chore and milked the cows and fed the horses. And had butter to make, butter to churn, you know, and all those jobs that we don't think of anymore about anybody ever doing in their life, you know. always something coming up to be done. I used to take the butter to town too when I was growing up. My job to drive a one-horse buggy to town, take the butter into the store and get the groceries. And really fun in a way, but I nearly always came home with a headache because of the hot sun. And I started out at 6 o'clock in the morning, I remember that. So it'd be cool so the butter wouldn't melt in the way, you know. About noon I got back, but it was hot, about 8 miles to town. But I really liked to drive the old horse. I hate the buggy because it wasn't painted, didn't have any top, it looked so scraggly, and I'm ashamed of it. But it went anyway.
Would you just turn around and come right back after you got the groceries?
Well, usually I did. Sometimes I in the store and bought some cloth or a dress. One time I ordered twice. I went to the ice cream parlor and had some ice cream. That was a real treat, I know. And how it came, I did, because I wasn't supposed to spend any extra money for anything. But I must have been, because I got permission to do it. Seems queer that I'd have to get permission to when I was 16 years old. That's the way they were. Couldn't do hardly anything without permission.
Do you think that this was about how most of the families were? Do you think that your family was stricter than most?
Well, I think it was stricter than most, but then I think they were all pretty well strict. I think the youngsters obeyed their parents and respected them and all that. I think that some of them were allowed to dance, you know, and to... Well, they didn't go any place. They didn't go to town as far as that goes, you know, the crowd around. Nobody allowed them into public dances. They had public dances in Moscow then. Everybody was at them, you know, and that was supposed to be kind of a bad place to go because of so much riffraff, I guess, drinking. Moscow had a lot of saloons in the town at that time. I really don't know what the wasn't keeping them out, but then just didn't want to mix with that kind of a crowd, I guess. Everybody seemed pretty well satisfied to stay home, you know. I can't remember anybody being dissatisfied about being wanting to go or to do anything different.
I wasn't thinking that it was any less good than the way they do it now, but it just seems so different.
Yeah, it was so different, I know that. I suppose these people are used to living this era, would hate to go back to that, be a humdrum life, I imagine, but we didn't know anything different, so it didn't matter to us. That's what makes a difference, I think, because we didn't know any different. Just like the farmers now, they hate to go back to the same old drudgery kind of work they did in those days. They couldn't stand it, for one thing, and they're not used to it. But they didn't know any different then, so what could they do? In the days when they had binders, you know, and it was bound their grain. That was a great step forward. But then it took men to shock it up, you know, and it was a hard back-breaking job to go around putting up all those shocks of sheaves of grain that were heavy to put up, you know. It took a long time to do it, and then they had to get them over with the thrash machine and thrash them, you know, and then they had the heavy sacks to pick up to haul them out of the way. Now they do it all with a combine, you know, one man does it and puts it in the bulk tank and wait the aisle later, save all that trouble. There's so many people have back trouble these days. I wonder if it's because they don't use their back. Well, they don't think people had back trouble like they do now. Used to bend down, you know, and pick up things, heavy things. can't use my hands to do any sewing with or anything. And I just thought to myself, well, I'll put down some of these things that I remember when I was a kid, just to show the grandkids what it used to be like, good for them. And so I just kind of started it. Well, just kept coming all the time. Couldn't stop it, you know, I'd say. I'm sort of disappointed I can't use my hands. That's what I was going to do when I got old. I was going to do some fancy work I never had much time to do when I was younger. Big family youngsters, and then before that I had to work for my board and everything when I was going to school. I didn't get much chance to do these things I wanted to do, but I'm glad I can pick this out. I don't know how long my hand's going to last, but this one's getting kind of crippled up now, but then I won't worry about it. It may last as long as I do, so. But this one is not any good anymore and do anything as far as typing is concerned.
Maybe you could explain a little to me about how well off different families were. Did families measure how well off they were like families do these days? I don't mean in the same terms because there wasn't as much money, but did they think a lot about how well they were doing?
Well, I don't know about that. I guess maybe they did. I think that I know one of our neighbors close to us was, I don't know what he thought, but then I thought that he is, had things pretty good. And put up a new house. He had a nice bunch of cows. It was beautiful, slick cows that he had. And but the Munsons that I spoke of there, their father was in the state legislature, and I presume they had more money than we did, but then we were kind of jealous of them because their kids had more shoes than we did, I know. As far as that, well, we were always good friends, and we acted always on the same footing, the youngsters did anyway, you know, and I think that the parents in general did too, all over the country. Most of the farms were small. They couldn't say, well, we have so-and-so 100 acres of the ground we farm, and we have this and we have that, you know. They didn't do that, I'm sure. I know anything about. Of course, I say my folks were very careful about not running anybody down anywhere, in any way. So we didn't have any idea that what everybody was just as good as our parents were in every way possible. My dad was always thoughtful and a decent sort of man. We always thought all of them were, I guess, a general thing they were, I guess. But I found out later they haven't been, you know. Because the more I see of the world, or I have seen of the world, I know there's other kind of people. But my dad only had 80 acres, and that wasn't enough for him to farm, because he had to milk so many cows in order to make it anywhere near a living. That's the reason he wanted a bigger place, so he could farm more with machinery and horses. I think most of the places around there were close to the mountains, and they had a lot of evergreen trees on them. They didn't have very much farming to do. And then Robinson Lake area, maybe you know where that is. So the farther they got out that way, there was less cultivated ground. We weren't in debt that I know of. Where I didn't know, I think my dad usually tried to pay cash for everything at that time. Of course, everybody did. As far as they could, I think they didn't go in debt like they do nowadays. When we moved over to Whitman County, why, he had to go in debt then to get 160 acres. And he had a $7,000 mortgage on the place. And he worked like everything we saved, like everything. He was afraid he was going to lose it if he didn't make the payment every year, you know, $1,000 to pay every year with interest. He made it all right and made lots of money besides, because he rented the place next to him, but he worked so hard that he really It was too much for him, too bad for his health. He died when he was 70, 72, I think. So, I think the part of it was overworked. But you know, in the old days, they would foreclose on the land. Lots of people would sell land to banks, would sell land to a farmer at a big price and brag it up, and then the farmer couldn't make his payments, they'd take it away from him, foreclose on him. That was a regular thing there for a while. I guess that continued, didn't it, until Roosevelt's time? He stopped that foreclosing.
I'm not sure, but he well may have.
Hadn't been too recent that can't happen. Of course, nowadays people don't want land. These people don't want land so bad as they used to, anyway. I mean, it wasn't that way. Maybe they do now, but then I know that we have a mortgage with a mortgage company. We've helped our boys out in getting a farm and getting started a farm. And they say they don't want the land at all. They want us to make the payments all the time. They want to make it so that we can make the payments easy, because they don't have any use for the land anyway. So I think that's the general run of things. They don't want to be bothered with land.
Do you think that there was a stronger feeling, or a very strong feeling of getting ahead? Or was the feeling more of just getting by?
Well, I think they just wanted to make enough money to have some left over and be sure they wouldn't be caught with nothing, you know. Of course, sickness and things like that took money in those days. Nowadays they don't have the safeguards that they didn't used to have the safeguards they have now, you know, in some respects, like Medicare. And I guess it's awful hard on younger people now too to finance their sicknesses, operations and things. But
do you think that the feeling of cooperation was very strong?
Oh yes, it was definitely stronger than it is now. My goodness, yes. People were closer together. Of course, they couldn't get away very far, so they depend on each other for help and entertainment and all that, you know. Here we don't hardly know who our neighbors are sometimes, you know, because they whiz off the lake or someplace on Sunday or evenings or something. We go to a show or something. Or else we've got something to do, but it seems like that we hardly know our neighbors anymore.
Was it mainly a few families that your family was close to and spent most of their time with?
Well, one particular, the Munson family, we were, because our children were the same age as ours, the same families. Of course, Mr. Munson wasn't home very much of the time, but when he was home, he was pretty good about taking us to things. He took us to Millerary's, and he one took us to Juniata one time on the 4th of July. And but you see, the people had small places. They lived pretty close together, much closer than they do now in the country. 160 acres apiece or something like that. Why? Your neighbor's pretty close. Way they were close, in walking distance anyway. Have singing school and literaries and reading circles, although the reading circle didn't last very long. It petered out pretty quick. Many people weren't good readers and they weren't all interested in the same reading. You know, the Silas Marner was what they was trying to read. That's a pretty dry book, you know, as I remember. And I don't think very many people were interested in it. They never got it through. Of course, the children made noise, you know, and interrupted more or less. they thought it'd be quite educational for us.
Did they read it out loud, or did they?
Oh yes, it took turns reading, you know, and some of the people weren't very good readers. Hard to keep everybody's attention. And it was in the winter time, and it was hard for people to get together, I guess.
What about the literaries? What went on in that? The literaries. What went on in the literaries?
Well, people spoke pieces and had dialogues, and when one school would come into another one, give their program, the program what it was, you know, and sing songs and entertain you, you know, and then maybe that your school would go over to their school or go to some other school and another district, you know, the districts weren't too far apart, district schools. I suppose that three miles apart, probably. The Pine Grove and the Pleasant Valley, where sometimes the children from Pine Grove would come down to our school if their school was only 7 months school. They were up farther in the mountains, and I think that it was hard for them to always finance some of the schools where the people weren't. I don't know how they did finance them really in those days. But I know in the poorer districts, the schools usually were shorter termed.
The adults would attend these literary
schools? Oh, yeah, oh, yes. Quite often they took part in them, too. That was what they did. The people of the district all turned out and wanted to give a program, not only just the kids, but the older people, too, the adults. They'd perform, and usually they'd give some comical readings or something, you know. I guess I told you about the dogs and one school put on it for us. Had a big hopper and I threw the dogs in there and they ground out sausages on the other side. I guess I spoke about that in the book, didn't I? Those kind of things they did, you know, something unusual like that.
Who were the kind of people that your family didn't want you to associate with?
I can't remember anybody around there they didn't want to associate with.
I don't mean names or anything, but I just had the feeling that there were certain elements that weren't thought of as undesirable.
Well, I can't think of anything in particular. Only is I didn't want to associate with the drunkards, of course, the drinking people, or the fast girls, or like that. Of course, it wasn't much danger anyway, because we never got out at night. Town, there wasn't anybody, and then they never come out in the country. So, I can't think of anyone that would be out of bounds to us. We knew anything about it anyway.
The difference that you mentioned between your father and your mother, your father was plain as an old shoe and your mother had slight aristocratic interests.
Yeah. Yes, that was true all through her life. She wanted us all to marry. Well, she wanted to get me married off for some reason or other, I don't know what. It's because she saw I didn't have any prospects of anything else, I guess. She set my wedding date and everything, and I was 22 years old, isn't that great? But she tried to stop my sister Viola from marrying the man she did. She insisted on him not seeing him for a year. She bet she'd forget it, get him. And she wanted to marry some college fellow that Bowen had slightly gone with a little. You know, it's because he had an education. And Leo wouldn't get an education at all. He didn't even have a high school education, but he's a genius in making things. He's an American mechanic. He made the first thrash machine they had, right from scratch. And So I'm inclined to be more my way with Dad. I think there's other things besides college. That doesn't make a person, I mean. Being a college graduate.
Well, was it education that was the key to your mother, not wealth?
Well, it seemed like, I think it was. She taught school herself when she was, before she was 18. And I think she had that inbred in her somehow. Well, she was a different family than her brothers and sisters, it seems. We didn't know that till not very long ago, but her mother was married twice, but they kept it dark for some reason or another. And it might have been that she got that trait inherited from the other side of the family, you know, from the other side. Of course, my dad, his folks were not, well, his sister got to be quite an elocutionist, too. She traveled around quite a bit giving readings and all. But most of his family were just ordinary people, you know. I guess they could have been something else if they had a chance for an education, but.
When you say she set your wedding date when you were 22, does that mean before you were ready?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I think maybe I'd never gotten married at all if it hadn't been that she did that. But then we didn't have it doing what she wanted us to do, see, and setting the pace for us because she thought the best that we felt that it was best for us to do that ever since we were kids. And so we just automatically did. And of course, it wasn't very hard for me to swing into it. It goes, and I was sort of shocked to think it'd be so soon. And we were supposed to have a double wedding, an older sister and I. Something happened to them, and they never did get married. She married somebody else later, but my sister and I were never very close either. She stayed around the house a lot, and I kept out of her way a good deal of time. I said in the book, it's easier to do that, and it was to quarrel with her. She's sort of a dominating person, you know, and kept us busy all the time if we were around the house, kind of bossed us around. I'd get out and mend sacks for my dad and help him in the barn. And I read my mother's diary here. My daughter got it typed up. And it was pretty dim. She made it before she had any family, any children at all. She was real good at putting down her feelings, but we wish she'd expanded out a little bit more on detail and here and there. And almost all of it was about her feelings, this and that other thing.
This is when she was in South Dakota?
Oh, yes.
Were her feelings when she was there optimistic mostly?
Well, she got real religious for one thing, and she praised the Lord for all the good things that happened to her and all the wonderful man that she had, and my dad was awful good to her, I know that. But I think it was terrible because she kind of, last years of her life, she went to California and left him up here half sick, you know, because he wanted to, but find a place to live. He couldn't live in the house alone very well, and I know he'd like to stay in his own house the last few years of his life and had really a home, you know, to stay in. He was sick. Said that he had moved around from one family to another, his folk, us kids, you know. And it wasn't the kind of way he wanted to live at all. He wanted to settle down and be quiet. But she wanted him to go to California. He did try it down there, but it wasn't a home to him at all. So he came back here. But she liked to go every place down there, and everybody went any place she went to. I don't know whether it's going down tape or not, but.
Yeah, it is, but that's okay. Was it harder on one of, or the other of them to leave South Dakota and come out here in the first place?
No, I don't think it was. My mother was glad to because she didn't like the wind, the storms, everything back there. I think my dad, well, it might have been harder on him because he was doing well and he'd gotten on his feet and he was on a farm and he gotten where he could see his way clear and make some money, I guess, or to do with it either out of debt or something, I don't know, but to understand that he was a little reluctant to come. But I guess he didn't. Maybe he just wasn't quite so. Oh, the word. Quite so daring, I guess I'd say, about coming. When he got here, he didn't see how they could ever farm the hills, you know. It took him a long time to figure out that he could, and he wanted to get the levelest place he could find, and the land kept going up and going up all the time. She kept egging him on, and she got a place picked out over here by Pullman that she wanted to go and see, and some way or another, they didn't get over there to see it, and it was sold. And she said in her book that if it had been that they'd gone over there, they might have been Pullmanites by this time. I guess you didn't see her book, did you? She wrote a book too. In her 80s, I guess she was 80. A lot of the experiences when he came up here, you know. His mother, he crossed the plain in 52 with his family and the ox team. Of course, he was only 4 years old, but he could remember something about the trip. Mother died on the way, and a brother of mountain fever, cholera, you know, they had an epidemic of it on those years, on 52. And mother died in Platte River, and on the Platte River, and his brother died in South Idaho somewhere. Yeah, I've heard him say that if he goes to South Idaho, he bet he could find the very place where his brother was buried. It made such an impression on him, of course. He couldn't, of course, everything would change, but it was so plain to him that he realized it's a plain, you know. He thought he could go back there and see it, find it. But I wrote that up, but I can remember them telling about it. Then he came up here Whitman County, and of course it was Washington Territory at that time, but kind of had quite a lot of experience here in the early day, you know, 1877. It was very sparsely settled at that time here.
What did he say that it was like then? When he first came?
Well, it was open country. There weren't any neighbors close by at all. Of course, some of the land had been taken up. Some of the best land was taken up around Moscow, but Moscow was just getting started then, and Mr. Llewellyn, he wanted to get the town started, and so he offered him a lot in town where the First Security Bank is now if he would build a shack on it, you know. Any kind of a building, he could have a lot. He wasn't interested in town property, so he turned it down. Then he offered him a lot if he'd trade his horses later. He'd trade his horses for a lot. He wouldn't give up his horses because he couldn't farm without them, so he didn't take that. But first winter he was here in 1877, it was an open winter, and he didn't have needed much of a house. He just had a kind of a tent, the tarp over the top and board floor. I guess he brought some up with him from Walla Walla or Pomeroy, where he'd been herding sheep down there for a while for his dad. And then he'd hobble one horse out, and the horse stayed around close. But he did have another bachelor friend that just across the fence from him. They used to run around together quite a bit. When some people came across the road from him, and went across the road he is now. But the woman didn't want to stay because she knew that they'd never have any closer neighbors than that. Why, she wasn't going to stay, so they never unpacked things and left. But finally the family came there, and they were real close. Family was along real well together. And then he married, he's 40 years old. And they said that the barn that they put up on this Collins' place. It was right next to the place that he had. I had him going up the, putting the pins in the top, you know, to fit the barn is all put together with pegs, not nailed with pegs. They had him putting the roof on or the rafters up there because he was the only unmarried man there. He's afraid. He got married soon after that, though. So. He was an old man when my husband was born. He was born 40 years old when he married. So my husband grew up kind of a lone chick, and his mother died when he was 2.5 years old. So he had kind of a rugged growing up with his dad. And dad, I don't think, ever didn't wear much pains about him. You know, he was used to living alone, and he just kind of let the kid along the best he could. I know my husband told him about different times when he pretty much put out the way dad treated him.
Just figured that the kid had to take care of himself?
I guess so, just thoughtless, you know. One time they were riding horseback with Viola across the field, and the horse got stuck in the snow. The snow was deep. And he stopped the neighbors and got a shovel and went back to dig the horse out and told the boy to come on home by himself. Wasn't very far from home, maybe a mile or so. Came back, and then the door was locked, so he couldn't get in. So he had to sit out there and wait for his dad. Well, his dad probably, after he got the horse out and took the shovel back, he stopped and talked to these neighbors, you know, visited with them. So the kid was cold and probably wet from walking in that deep snow all the way down there and tired, and he never forgot it. And another time he was telling about his dad left him to milk the cow and went off, and he never milked it before. The cow kicked him because he didn't know how to milk. Dad went off on a thrashing crew or something like that. So he never did like to milk cows. He claimed that was the reason.
Seems it must have taken great courage for Mr. Fleener to keep on after his mother and brother died.
I know it was. I guess he was pretty well brokenhearted when the boy died. He said that his father made the remark that if he'd brought enough medicine along, he could have cured. They wouldn't have needed to have died. Well, he started out with enough medicine for his own self, and then he might have shared it with other people that were sick before, you know, and didn't have enough for them afterwards. But the way they ended up, they were so near out of oxen. They stopped someplace at a trading post in South Idaho, somewhere. I don't know the Fort Boise or Fort Laramie now. And he didn't know, but someplace down there where they would exchange, where the immigrants could exchange the tired animals for some good one, you know, better one. Well, they exchanged for a young milk cow. Hitched her up with one ox and the head left and came the rest away. The cow gave milk for the family and seeing little kids. It was all of them under 12. And there's one of them 2 years old. The youngest one was 2, and my husband's father was 4. And there was Tom and Jane, and it's been 5, I guess, left. They were met at the Dalles by his brother that had come out here before. My husband's father's brother had come out here to Oregon before. They were headed for Oregon, see. And I guess the train had gone on and left him. Probably sent word that they were coming, and so he met them at the Dalles. That was a hard hump to go over there anyway, the Dalles. And I know he said that he never saw such fat, big fat oxen as that in all their life. Of course, they hadn't seen anything but scrawny, thin ones, I suppose, you know, and if they'd been months on the road. They started in May. I don't know what time they got to Oregon, sometime before winter, but all that time be quite a bit. A lot of courage, I bet you. But they said this cow was given to the youngest daughter, Nancy. Her name was Nancy, I was the youngest one. When she got married, it was given to her. But the cow was old by that time, you see, and they soon butchered her, and she'd never eat any of the meat. She was such a pet, I suppose, you know. Brought them all the way through the rest of the way from South Idaho to the Dalles, Oregon.
Do you know what kind of medicine they used for cholera?
No, I don't. I have no idea. Well, he said they didn't see any Indians either. They had a Kentucky rifle. We still have that Kentucky rifle in the family. But never shot any Indians. I guess it shot a few things for meat. But of course, he was so young, he couldn't remember all the details about this river crossing and all those things.